walking slowly, wearing his familiar number 3. A 25-yard kick left hash. He's missed from 47. He's had one blocked from 44. He's missed from 42. He's missed an extra point. Snap, set, kick. Good! Redemption for Gostkowski.
Redemption. 25 yards and a victory, 16-14 over the Broncos.
That was a great call, by the way, too.
It was. It always is. I wish I could roll my R's like Mike Keith. That's my aspiration in life. It's J-Mart and Ramon. 822 is the time. He's at Ramon Foster on Twitter. I'm at J-Mart Radio. He played at Tennessee, at the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Well, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not really at them. That sounds like a road game.
Yeah.
Definitely not a road game for you, Mo.
No, we're home, despite everybody thinking.
Gosh. I might get 3 before. I don't know. I may already have 3.
You have 3 already.
You already have a citation.
Yes.
What happens after a citation? What's the wall of punishment or something like that we're going to have to institute on the program? Welcome in another office super fan, Rhett Bryan at Rhett B Tennessee on Twitter, executive producer of Titans Radio. We actually did a series of office podcasts last year.
Lots of fun, too.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm all out of Shroot Bucks this morning, though.
Yeah. Shroot Bucks?
All out of Shroot Bucks. See, Mo wasn't here yet for that. We did, like, what, 4 or 5 different office podcasts.
And we could have done much more, because we took deep dives into episodes and characters and just dropped all kinds of one-liners from episodes that the casual office fan would have forgotten about.
Yeah, that's right. Then we did the office cast draft. Like, yes. It was a fantasy football draft end of it.
Absolutely.
As well. This is what you missed, man. You should have been here earlier.
I should have. We were trying to keep it under wraps, and I had this other job that I had to retire from first, too. So, I mean, hey.
Yeah, Big Ben, they still needed your help. That's right.
They still needed it Monday.
It won the poll, too. Don't tell
anybody. Yeah, that's because Pittsburgh fans are a legion. They're a problem.
You know what? We'll see Titans fans getting there now. That's for sure.
That's right. Rhett, so what did you see on Monday? What are your just top-line observations from the 16-14 win?
Well, you know, the thing I think is interesting is it was the best debut week one performance by Derrick Henry, and he earned it. There wasn't any long plays in there. I think his longest run was 13 yards or whatever. But 31 carries, hard runs for 116 yards. That's the best opening day performance he's had. The closest thing to it was 19 carries for 84 yards and a blowout over the Browns last year in week one. So he's right where he left off, and he is earning the money that he gathered in the offseason that he had earned because he'd outperformed his rookie contract. So he is on par to have another stellar season, knock on wood. So that's the first thing. Defensively, Jeffrey Simmons, that if you saw a lot the other night, Monday night, at just a handful of plays, why Jarrell Casey is wearing a Denver Broncos uniform now.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to move on from him a year early because Jeff is ready. You can tell he has no hesitation in the confidence and ability level that he has in that repaired knee. No brace on there, and he is effecting plays, and you saw it firsthand. I thought Harold Landry did a fantastic job on defense as well. And can you tell Corey Davis is in a contract year?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you what, that dude went up and got it, and he wasn't afraid. I mean, you talk about 50-50 ball combat catches. He got them. But I thought, you know, in two of the three phases, it was pretty doggone good football. It's just the Steven Gostkowski part was the puzzling part of all of it. And, you know, you guys have gone over the numbers, you know, the week one kicks and
it was bad
overall efficiency of things. Yeah, it's as bad as it's been in 20-30 years or whatever. So you can tell, and Ramon, nobody has to tell you, it's in those guys' heads. They have to get out there and get their practice kicks done. They need those preseason games. That's why they're out there warming up and kicking and trying during pregame stuff and halftime. They're trying to run into the marching band and whoever's performing at halftime. In a regular year, they have to have those reps. They have to have them.
Yes, they do. The thing that a lot of people come out of Denver saying is that was an ugly win. How do you view this game, this past game, before we move on to Jacksonville? Uh-huh. How do you view that win for the Titans?
I'm going to tell you, Ramon, it's a win. I don't care what it is. You're 1-0. You went on the road in a crazy year with no preseason game and got an AFC road win. Nobody has to tell you as a Pittsburgh Steeler how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done all 438 Titans games with Mike Keith, and I can tell you with almost 100% certainty, there are years past in good team Titans teams and bad ones where that would have been a Titans loss. And that tells me not only where Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff has this team in their maturity level and fighting back and clawing out a win, but just kind of where this thing might be going in a small sample size in 2020. That would have been a loss in a lot of years.
Yeah, it would have been. And it doesn't – look, Miss Congeniality works, right? Like, I mean, you don't have to win by 200 points in the NFL. All you need is one in the W
column.
The prettiest
thing is a W.
Especially when you look at the rest of the division, Rhett.
Right.
And you see the Colts lose to Jacksonville, and Houston really just flat looked bad against Kansas City. I feel like Titans fans should feel better about a 16-14 win than maybe they otherwise would, just looking at everything else that happened around them.
Absolutely. And look, if I'm a Houston fan, first of all, I'm worried about Deshaun Watson's health with that O-line. I certainly hope that O-line gels and does better later on if I'm a Houston guy. But you look at the way Jacksonville beat the Colts at home, and the stat sheet tells all the story. I mean, you got three turnovers that led to 13 points and all of that. And, you know, two of their five explosive plays were touchdowns. The Colts rookie kicker, Rodrigo Blankenship, misses a field goal. They fail on fourth down inside the Jacksonville five. I mean, they're plus three in turnover, giveaway, takeaway already. So there's something you got to watch out for the Titans. And then Gardner Minshew, don't sleep on this dude. He looks like he's a character from a 70s Burt Reynolds movie, but that dude can throw it around. I mean, great game for him. And they're getting, you know, contribution from places like this James Robinson kid, the rookie from Illinois State. Coach Mack and I looked at him in draft process. That dude, he got a lot of numbers in a smaller school setting, but he can make it happen, and he's contributing already as an undrafted. So they've got to be on their P's and Q's with this, but they've got X plays that they can execute with a guy like DJ Chark. Toss it downfield to him. So, yeah, this is going to be huge, and Lord knows what happens when these two teams play. There's just crazy stuff that happens when the Titans and Colts play every time.
No question about that. In Titans Jaguars this coming Sunday, that'll be the matchup. No fans in attendance. I just want to throw this stat out in case people missed it. You mentioned Blankenship missing kicks missing a kick in addition to what we saw from Gostkowski. Here's the stat. NFL kickers, 12 different kickers missed at least a field goal. Kickers combined missed 19 field goals in week one. 71%, 48 of 67 were made. For reference, over the last three seasons, league-wide has been at 81, 85, and 84%. So that's how bad the kicking was in week one. So maybe...
Now, Jason, let me underline it with this.
Yeah.
And this is something that's in the Jags' favor. Now, on the road, we're going to see. But Josh Lambeau, the field goal he kicked towards the end, 45 in a row at home he's made for the Jags.
Look, I mean... I was trying to look at a fantasy team. I'm like, maybe I need to pick up Josh Lambeau as a flyer this weekend.
Absolutely. And let me tell you something else. There's a lot of leagues. I'm in a media league with a bunch of our guys and with the Titans folks, and Gardner Minshew's still sitting there on undrafted, unclaimed. I almost took him as a flyer in the 15th round myself just because I thought they were going to be so bad. He was going to be chucking it a lot, getting junk yardage in the second half. He might not be a bad backup option, or at least when your starter has a bye week.
Speaking of Gardner Minshew, after hearing Coach Vrabel's presser a little bit yesterday, you can kind of see like the focus in his voice a little bit moving forward.
Yeah.
With this AFC South being the way it is, I mean, Rivers had a bad showing last week, especially got beat by Minshew and the Jaguars. But do you think it's too early to call this Jacksonville game a trap game for the Titans, meaning they are what everybody's talking. They're in the upper echelon of the conversation right now. Is the Jacksonville Jaguars a trap game for them as far as, you know, them just letting one drop? Like you said, in years past,
sure,
that's happened.
I don't think so because of the way they had to win on Monday night. Okay. I think they're focused on that because they're like, hey, man, we scratched one out here on the West side of the U.S., and we know how it can be in this, and it's a double whammy. It's almost like getting two wins if you beat a division rival and an AFC, you know. So, I mean, I feel like, and in fact, Dennis Kelly was on Keith Bullock's show last night here on the Zone on Titans Tonight, and he talked about, you know, he said, we called it rust. We got to knock some rust off, and we asked him, we were like, hey, this is the perfect time to focus on knocking that rust off because you got a division foe, and you know, at Sunday at Nissan Stadium. He said, absolutely. And I think the one thing that was interesting he said last night in these virtual games for everyone in terms of no fans being there, he said, you know, they're using electronic whistles. So it's just a signal on the belt pack that the official has, not a physical whistle in this thing. And he said those refs were actually forgetting to depress the button on the electronic whistle, and the play would have long been over. He said those are some things that the league is trying to work through that he was interested in as, you know, the league rep for the Titans in this. I thought that was very interesting, him bringing that up last night. But, yeah, they've got to go get this one. You go get this one, you start 2-0, and you got two AFC wins and one division win in your pocket. And again, this is what I thought might be the case in this thing with no preseason games, is the teams bringing back multitudes of starters on both sides of the ball and having continuity would have a leg up. And certainly with the way this team is built, with a Derrick Henry, who, again, 31 carries, 116 yards in this thing, if you can notch out some early wins in this while guys, you know, in other places are playing sloppy ball, you can make some hay right here. Because, listen, the New York Jets, that's about the worst team. They might be the Trevor Lawrence sweepstake winners small sample size window. They were awful.
Yeah, they
golly.
Were.
Pre-snap penalties out the wazoo. You could tell they were not disciplined at all.
He was new to the proceedings. We saw Clowney show up early, Rhett. Mm-hmm. But then later in the game, maybe not as much, but he was out there a lot. Like he was playing, I think he played over 80% of the snaps.
47 snaps. And I thought he'd be more on a 15 to 20 snap pitch count type of thing. Now, maybe the Vic Beasley part of that comes into play. But Harold Landry still got a bunch of snaps himself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was effective in those first probably 15, 20 snaps. And then you started to see him fade away a little bit towards the end, and that's just in the, you know, football shape part of it, getting into the football conditioning. But you can see why they brought him in. And like I said, Jeffrey Simmons and a lot of these guys, the other 10 dudes on this defense, they're gonna reap some serious dividends out of this. And then if he's able to actually affect the play and make the quarterback sack or the forced fumble or whatever, that's all for the better.
What does it say about Chris Jackson that he's out there in week one? Well, I mean, obviously there was a Dory out and stuff like that, but still, I mean, clearly he showed out. I know Glennon wrote a piece at Broadway Sports Media that maybe we'll talk about more tomorrow, just about, look, you got to get him ready to play. You drafted him, and Chris Jackson did enough to at least earn some PT.
Well, and I watched him. I watched every training camp practice with Coach McGinnis, and we kept noticing number 35, just in his approach, just in the way, and he would just get a little better every day. We both thought, well, this guy's got a chance to make the roster, and he may have a chance to contribute. We didn't realize it was going to be in a rotational situation in his first game as a rook on Monday Night Football on the road. But, yeah, I mean, they truly, you know, working the back end of this roster, this is where you're going to really see the John Robinson Patriots influenced his early career type of deal. They're going to try to find the guys that can make this happen. Now, I mean, look at, you know, Malcolm Butler's out there, and he was an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a physical corner that's out there battling every, you know, so, you know, if Chris Jackson ends up being Malcolm Butler, fantastic. But, you know, they're going to try to find these young men wherever they played ball. And if they can do it and they can coach them up, they're going to put them out there.
Yeah. As a former undrafted guy, I like that concept.
Yes,
okay?
You do.
I love that because those guys understand, number one, how to work. And you said this is a guy that you saw get better from day in and day out. And that's what you have to do. You have to have a good core of those guys around your team that helps support your team. Because, as you said, you're going to get a lot out of a young guy like that. But I got a quick question for you.
Yep.
You've seen a lot of this team over the years, okay, from when they came here and all, from the Music City musical all the way up to now. And you've seen the bad in between. How optimistic or cautious are you about what you're seeing from this squad right now?
I think it might be the best Titans team that they've fielded in 17, 18 years. It just, you know.
Yeah, you can let it breathe, Rhett, but you're right. I mean, I've asked that question too, and all the listeners that have replied to us have said the same thing. It's like, we haven't been this optimistic since, you know, guys named Eddie and Steve were on this team.
I mean, they've already made a run to the AFC Championship game, so, you know, and nobody has to tell you, Ramon, that, you know, getting back to that is not as easy as advertised. No. I mean, I've been doing this for 23 years, and I'm waiting to go back to another Super Bowl.
It's hard.
Yeah. So, but, you know, and everybody wants to talk about, well, should they have given the money to Ryan Tannehill? Hey, did you see what he did? Mm-hmm. Did you see how he spread the ball around? And by the way, a healthy Adam Humphries was another thing I took away from the other night. And that's what, how much better that could they have been last year had he been healthy? That dude just goes out and gets it. And then you got that great catch from Michael Pruitt for the touchdown. You know, I mean, they've got contributors coming from all angles, and they're spreading this thing around effectively. Arthur Smith is the big feather in their cap in all of this on the offensive side. They're going to have a hard time keeping him as the OC. Somebody's going to come after him as a head coaching candidate if this continues on the trajectory that I think it is.
Yeah, and that's what you don't want to hear, right? Because you really Arthur being here.
But right now he's the OC, so, you know, good. But, yeah, they're going to have trouble keeping him down the road.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, I'm extremely optimistic from what I see. And, again, winning on the road, late game, you know, western coast of the country and the travel and all that, and they scratch out a win. There are so many years on decent and good football Titans football teams, they would have lost that game. And
Vic Fangio helped him out too.
He sure did. Yeah, he absolutely did. And that's he did his part. That's true.
And admitted to it, actually, yesterday, finally, after defending it after the fact. He's like, you know what? That's my bad on that.
The eye in the sky don't lie.
Does not lie.
All right, Rhett. Jaguars coming up Sunday. We're looking forward to the broadcast, as always. Your point was right. The TV broadcast wasn't bad, but they were missing some stuff early, and you just fired back at me. We'll just listen to Titans radio.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Touche, my friend.
Mike and Mac have always got you covered. You have a former head coach telling you everything. He knows every formation they're going to line up in before they can think about lining up, and telling you decisionally, you know, just like a head coach would as he's managing a game from three phases, 30,000 feet up. And then you got one of the best in a play-by-play guy, Mike Keith, who you'll never out-prep him. You'll never out-study him. He has a retention level that is freakish. And the rest of us just kind of make the machine what it is. But I'd put our stuff up against any of the other 32 last weekend. I promise you that.
Yeah, no doubt. I would too. Rhett, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy the visit, guys. Thanks.
That is Rhett. That was a fast segment, man.
It was.
We could have done more there. We barely even scratched the surface, but that's when you've done it right. When we come back, the biggest of news out of the Big Ten, football is happening officially. Yeah. We'll tell you a little bit about that when we come back. Also, Trey Smith. Not real thrilled about the K-May situation, but that audio is great. It's going to make your day. Exactly. It's going to make your day better. It's 840, J Marts and Ramon. And that's what you look up if you're finding us on Twitter as well. We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone.